chapter 10, one particular verse, verse 10. You may have read this verse before. You may have heard it before. And it says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Going to come to that verse in a couple of moments. I think I'd like to start off this morning's talk or preach, whatever you want to call it, on the topic of seriousness. Are you serious? Has somebody ever said that to you? Are you serious? Like, yes, I am serious. Do you take yourself serious? Do you take God serious? Do you take other people serious? I think the answer to that question is yes. Is that we do take other people serious, don't we? The three M's. We take them serious because they're important. There are people in our lives that are important to us. They are people that we love. They are people that we care about. And because we love them and because we care about them, we take them seriously, don't we? Not only is it because they're important to us, but it's also because there are some people in our lives where they have impacted our lives. Have you ever had somebody in your life and they have impacted you in regards to your life or your faith or something good? And you think to yourself, yes, I remember that person. I'm going to take them seriously because they've impacted my life in a good way. So we do take people seriously. Not only because they're important, not only because they impact our lives in some way, but also because sometimes people impart something to us. That is, they give us some wisdom, they give us some advice, they give us something good. Have you ever had somebody in your life where they have been important, they've impacted your life, but they have imparted something of value, something good, and you think to yourself, yes, that person, I take them seriously. And then there are others that we don't take seriously. You know it and I know it. And sometimes those people, not mentioning any names, but sometimes we don't take them seriously. We just think to ourselves, no, I'm going to ignore you. I am not going to listen to what you're saying because I've heard it all before. Been there, done that, wore the t-shirt. I'm just going to make a decision in my little mind. I'm going to ignore you. I'm not going to take you serious. Have you ever done that? You probably have. I think we've all done that. And then there's other people that ignite something in us. And we think, oh, every time I see them, every time they say something, they just, oh, they get my goat going. They ignite something in me. Have you ever met somebody like that? I know, and I think you have. So some people we ignore, other people ignite something in us. And then sometimes we're just simply not in tune with other people. They're on a different path, we're on a different path. We don't sync with them, we just don't fit with them. And it doesn't mean that we don't like them. It just means that we're not in tune with the same hymn sheet that they're on. We're on a different path. Some people we take seriously, some people we don't take seriously. Do you take yourself seriously? Do you take yourself seriously? God takes you seriously. Do you take yourself seriously? I think that we all have a desire within our lives that we want others to take us seriously. We want people to listen when we're talking. We want people to pay attention when we're about something or we're involved in something. I think there is a desire or a need within each human heart to be taken seriously. Do you take yourself seriously? Or do you feel that other people are not taking you seriously? When I think about the topic of being taken seriously, I'm reminded that there are people in the Bible that experience this. Do you remember the story of Abraham? And he had a wife. Does anybody remember her name? Sarah. And God promised that she would bear a son. And what did she do? She laughed. She laughed in disbelief. She thought, you're having a laugh. It's not going to happen. But it did happen. And she didn't take the promise of God seriously because she just thought it was, So that's not going to happen. And who remembers Joseph? Do you remember the story of Joseph? And God was working in his life. And what did God give him? He gave him dreams. And what did he do? He went to his brothers. And he says, hey, God has given me a dream. Oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to be great. You're not going to be so great. And what did they do? They didn't take him seriously. They started to give him a hard time. They thought to himself, you're just a dreamer. You're in dreamland, Joseph. What are you on about? Where are you coming with all of this stuff? They didn't take him seriously. Ah, sure. And who remembers Moses? Anybody remember the story of Moses? God called this man and God said to him, I'm going to use you. You're going to lead the people of Israel. You're going to lead them out of bondage. And he says, ah, sure, I can't even speak. I can't speak eloquently. He didn't take himself seriously. And you know something? I think it's like that in life. Sometimes I think our family don't take us seriously like Joseph. Sometimes I don't think we don't take ourselves and the calling of God on our lives seriously because we begin to think, sure, God could use everybody else, but he probably won't use me. That's not true. He will use you. You are the person God calls you today to himself. And sometimes God's plan on our lives, like Sarah, we think to ourselves, ah, is it really going to happen like that? Is it really going to all work out in such a way? Maybe we don't take the plans or the purpose of God for our lives as seriously as what we should. What about Jesus? When he was walking the earth and when he was preaching and teaching, you know that they didn't take him seriously. There was lots of people out there thought to themselves, ah, sure, we've heard it all before. People have come like you before. We're not really listening to what you're saying. But there were some who did take him seriously, who did believe in what he was saying, who did choose to follow him. What about Jesus and you? What about your own relationship with Jesus? Do you still take him seriously? Do you take his will for your life seriously? Do you still believe that he has a plan and a purpose for you? Do you take the promises of God seriously for your life? That God is still working in your life. He's not finished with you yet. That he's going to continue to work in your life for the better of your life. Yes. Do you take his word seriously? Because if you take Jesus seriously, you have to take his word seriously. And if you take his word seriously, then you take the content of his word seriously. And if you take Jesus word seriously, then he talks about different things. He talks about two things in this particular verse. He talks about the enemy, and he talks about what he has come to give you. I'm not one for preaching about the enemy. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't really go there that often, but sometimes when God gives you a word, you have to go there. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, you can't just shy away from the realities of truth. And Jesus spoke about the enemy. He calls him the thief. He comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And he's done that in many people's lives. He has stolen the confidence of them worshiping God. He has destroyed areas of their lives. He has come to kill something that was growing within their hearts and given by God. The enemy does that in the lives of people. And he seeks to do that in the lives of the believers who are following the Lord Jesus. Jesus describes the enemy. Have you ever read the Bible? It describes the enemy. I don't like to talk about the enemy, but I've got to talk about the enemy. I'm going to remind you. The Bible describes him as one that goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. In the very beginning, in Genesis, the Bible describes the enemy as crafty. He is crafty. Do you remember the time when Jesus was in the desert? And he was fasting and the enemy came to him. And he tempted him in various ways. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 13 says this. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. You see, the enemy, not only is he crafty, not only does he come to steal, kill, and destroy, but he chooses the opportunity. He waits until the opportunity is right to strike his blow or to make his attack. That's the way he operates. Do you remember Paul's word in Ephesians chapter 6 when he talks about the armor of God? Do you remember those verses? He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stance against the devil's schemes. You can take a stand. Did you know that? You can stand on the word of God. You can stand upon your faith. You can stand upon the finished work of Christ. And he also said these words, which I thought were very, very relevant. He said these words. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Sometimes our struggle is not only with people, that is flesh and blood. There are times when our struggle is against the forces of evil and against the principalities and powers. If you thought that your struggle was only against people, it's not. There are times when you're battling, and your battle is against the darkness of the heavenly realms. But James, the brother of Jesus, he gives us some sound advice. He says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Ah, sure, when I think about the enemy, I think that the pendulum swings two ways. I think that sometimes our attitude to the enemy is, ah, sure, he's out there somewhere, but he's not really involved in my life. I don't really think about him. I don't really want to have anything to do with him. We don't attribute to any responsibility of the destruction in people's lives to him. We just think, ah, sure, let's ignore him. And then the pendulum can swing the other way, where we see the enemy in everything. We take it to the extreme. If somebody pulls out of a car without indicating, we think, ah, that's the enemy. If a wasp is trying to get out the window and he's annoying you, you think, ah, that's the enemy. Oh, have you ever got to a point in your life where you think the enemy is involved in every detail of things that are not going right for you? And it might not be the enemy. Sometimes I think he gets attributed responsibility that he had nothing to do with at all. What I'm saying is, when we think about the enemy, let's be aware. Let's take our stand. Let's resist him. But let's not ignore him and think he doesn't exist. And let's not go over to the other side and see that he's involved in every detail of our lives, that when things are not working out, because it might not be him at all. But just be aware. Be aware that he is crafty. Be aware that he strikes at an opportune time. Be aware that our struggle at times is not only against flesh and blood, but our struggle at times may be against the principalities, powers of the heavenly realm. So let's not get hung up on the enemy. We came here to talk about Jesus. Let's get serious about him. What does he say? He says these words. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Do you have life? You do have life. Aren't you glad that you have life? When he comes, what is the life that he gives you? It's a new life. When God gives you life, he gives you a new life. That is, that there is a sense of the old life is gone, or I'm moving away from the old life and I've come into a relationship with Jesus and he's given me a new life with a new plan and a new purpose. What other types of life is it? It's a loving life. The relationship with God and his people is a relationship of love. It's a loving life. He loves you. He watches over you. He picks you up. You belong to him. He whispers in your ear, I have redeemed you and I love you. It's a loving life. It's a life of empowerment. God seeks to empower his people. He pours in his spirit to empower you to follow him and to do the things he's called you to do. Do you know that he's given you stuff to do, do you? If you don't have anything to do, I'll give you something to do later on. But God has a plan and he has some good works for you that he has prepared in advance for you to do. And as you follow him and as you communicate with him, you say to him, what do you want me to do? And he'll tell you what he wants you to do. But if you don't know what he wants you to do, say, Lord, help me understand, or show it to me, reveal it to me in a way that I can get. But God has stuff for you to do, and he will empower you to do that. Not only is it an empowerment life, but it's an equipping life. He will equip you with the tools and the skills to do that which he's called you to do. He won't leave you on your own. Somebody once said that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And I think that's true. That when we come to God, we may look at our lives and say, sure, I don't have this ability and I don't have that ability. But God will use you where you are. And he will equip you with whatever you need to do his plan and purpose for your life. Sometimes you might look at other people and think, aren't they great? They have it all together. Their lives are perfect. But my life, it's not the same as them. And God probably won't use me in the same way he's using them. He probably won't use you in the same way he's using them. But he will use you in a real way, in a way that will impact other people. Do you want to be used by God? And if you do, all you do is you say, Lord, I'm ready. If you're ready, I'm ready. Let's do this together. And begin to walk with him. What type of life is this? It's a new life. It's a loving life. It's an empowering life. It's an equipping life. It's a promised life. You have promises in the word of God that are for you. God promises you today. And he promises that he will be with you for the rest of your days. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to abandon you. He doesn't operate like that. He's a father who says to you, I'm going to be with you for the rest of your days. And so you can lean upon the promises of God. It's a life of hope. It's a life of faith. And it's a life of love. Paul mentioned these things in the word. He says, hope, faith, and love. But the most important of these things is love. It's love. It's a life of love. Loving yourself, loving your neighbor, loving God. And we do those things through hope and through faith. Jesus says it's a full life. He offers you a full life. What is that full life? It's a full of flavor. Don't you want a life of flavor that tastes sweet and tastes lovely? A life of flavor and sparkle. Don't you want a life that's sparkling, that shines and sparkles like a diamond? That's the life for you. That's the life that God offers you. He says, I want you to have a life of flavor, of fullness, of that one that is sparkling. It's a lovely life. It's a life of substance. It's not a life of emptiness. It's a life of substance. It's that he will give you something to do and you'll be involved in a work with him and a relationship with him that has substance rather than being empty. It's not an empty life. It's a full life. It's a life of people. It's a life of places. And it's a life of purpose. That's the type of life that Jesus offers. He offers you a life that is full of flavor, of sparkle, of promise, of empowerment, of equipping, of love. And it's a new life. But if there was one word I would use to describe the life that Jesus offers, and all those other things are true, do you know the word I'd use? Raised. He gives you a raised life. Did you know that you are raised? Did you know that you're raised? My job this morning is to remind you that you are raised. Is that when you came to God, Paul says these words to the church in Ephesians, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. You're raised this morning. You may have forgotten that. You may have known that. But today, the job of the preacher is to remind you that you are raised. He's raised you up. The psalmist, when he was in the mud and the mire, And he waited patiently for the Lord. And the Lord came and he picked him up and he put him on a rock. And so he's done that with your life. He has picked you up from wherever you are and he has raised you. He has taken you and he's placed you on a rock. And that rock is the faith of Jesus Christ. But you are raised. Consider yourself raised. Say to yourself, I'm raised. I'm a raised person. He has raised me up and he has placed me in a good place. And the Bible says, and seated us with him in heavenly places. I thought about that verse and I was thinking about what's the reality of that? Do you know what I like? Anyone know who my favorite football team is? Man United. Now, Man, don't be saying such a thing. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, you've wounded me. You've wounded me. Right. Now, you don't have to do this, but if anybody out there wanted to give me a season ticket for Man United, that would be wonderful. But let's pretend. Let's pretend you gave me a season ticket for Man United's ground, okay? And Man United's home ground is called Old Trafford. One of the other words for it is called the Theatre of Dreams. So, there's my season ticket. Oh, happy days. Thanks very much. That's a lovely gift you've given me this morning. And I have a seat at Old Trafford. I can go there because I have a seat. I have a season ticket. And so all I have to do, in order to watch the wonders of the game, in order to watch the brilliance of people, all I have to do is take my seat. So, there we go. I'm at Old Trafford. Ah, oh, this is a great view. Watching the game, watching the excitement, watching the wonders of people doing their thing. This is wonderful. And all I have to do is take my seat because I've been given a gift. I have my seat. That's my seat. You can't sit in my seat. You know that, can't you? Because that's my seat. Joni, you can't sit in that seat. You know why? Because it's my seat. That's not your seat. That's my seat. Has this ever happened to you? You've gone to the cinema. And you're sitting in your seat and you're ready to watch the main event. The person beside you, your loved one, has the popcorn and they're munching away. But you're ready. And then somebody comes up beside you and they look at a ticket and they look at you. And they look at a ticket and they look at you. And they utter these words, "You're sitting in my seat." And then you look at your ticket and you say, "No, this is my seat." You see, God has given you a seat, and it's a heavenly seat. He's raised you up. And so when you sit with him in prayer, and when you sit with him in devotion, and when you sit with him in the wonders of his presence, do you know what you're doing? You're taking your seat. That's your seat. That's not my seat, that's your seat, because he has seated you. When you sit in the seat of devotion, when you take that place where it's just you and him, you're sitting in that heavenly place. And I can't sit in your seat, and you can't sit in my seat, because he has given every single one of us our own place. And it is that heavenly seat when we sit with him, just like Mary did when she was listening to his words. We are sitting in that heavenly place. Do you know that you're raised this morning? Consider yourself raised. Consider yourself forgiven. Consider yourself saved. But also consider yourself raised. Look at your own life and say, I'm raised. He's raised me. And not only has he raised me, but he's raised me in such a way, but he's given me a seat, that heavenly seat. And it's a place where I can sit with him. It's a place of devotion. It's a place of prayer. It's a place where I sit with my Lord and my Savior. It's the heavenly seat. And if you want to know the wonders, all you have to do is sit in your seat. It's your seat. It's not my seat. It's each one of our seats. The other part of being raised is... Do you remember this verse? We're coming to the end now. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. So not only are you raised, as in past tense, he's raised you, consider yourself raised, but he's also committed to raising you, because he's your Father. That's what parents do, don't they? Don't they raise their children? Don't they watch over their lives? Don't they provide for them? Don't they dote over them? Don't they rejoice with them? Don't they help them and support them? And so it is with God, your Father, in your life. He says to you, you are raised, but you're being raised. Raised under the wings of His love and His care. He's raising you because you're His children. And so He's going to watch over your life. And He's going to be with you because He's your Father and you're His children. And so you are raised, but you're being raised in a parental sense. Those parents that are here this morning, you plan for your children, don't you? Some parents are probably already thinking about September, because September school starts. And when September starts, you might need to get some uniforms, you might need to get some materials or some books or whatever. You're getting things ready because they're going into different classes in different years. And so as parents, we're already thinking about September. Some parents are probably even thinking about Christmas time or birthdays or whatever. And you're putting plans in place for your children. Isn't that what parents do? But the child, he's only thinking about today. He's only thinking about maybe tomorrow that he wants chicken nuggets and chips or something like that. But as a parent, the parent is thinking not only about today or tomorrow, but they're thinking about the next couple of months, or maybe they're even thinking about next year, because that's the perspective of a loving parent, that you begin to plan and prepare for your children. So it is with God and you. Today, you may have needs. Today you may have anxieties or worries. And you're thinking, how is it all going to work out? But God is thinking not only about today for your life, but He's thinking about the future. And He plans to provide for your future. And He plans to bring it all together, because He's your Father. And He is raising you not only as His own, because you are His own, you belong to Him. And so in the future, His provision will be known, because He's raising you. You are under the care of God, your loving Heavenly Father. He's your Father. He's raising you. And so this morning, should we start it off by asking the question, are you serious? Yes, you are. Are we serious about our relationship with God? Yes, we are. Don't ignore the enemy. Don't take it to its extremes. Just be aware. Resist him. And rest in the knowledge that I am raised. I consider myself raised. I have a place. And that place is a seat where I can sit with Him. And I'm also being raised under the watchful care of a Father who loves me. And so this morning, maybe John might come and play some music in the background. This morning, this is an opportunity for you just to say, Lord, I'm still on the path where you're serious with me and I'm serious with you about the plans and the purposes of God in my life. I'm not going to ignore the enemy. I'm not going to get hung up on the enemy, but I'm going to rest in the knowledge that Jesus has come and He's given me life. And that life is a raised life. That life is, I am raised, I consider myself raised, that I have a place, and that place is seated with Him. I can sit with Him in the beauty of His presence. But it's also to know that I am being raised, that I have a Father that loves me and who is watching over my life, and that will provide for my needs when the time is right and when the time is appropriate. And so this morning, as John just plays, will you just engage with the Lord? Will you just say, Lord, thank you that you've raised me. Help me to see myself that I'm raised. I've been picked up and placed upon a rock. And that this morning, your commitment to me, God, my Father, is that you're raising me because I belong to you. I'm your child. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Bless the Lord.